So in our first reading today from Genesis, Exodus, we have Israel wandering around through the desert, and they've lost their faith. They're wandering around faithlessly and aimlessly through the desert. And these are a people, remember, they've literally seen the glory of God. He showed them his glory on the mountain. They are people for whom he parted the Red Sea. He's done wonders for these people. They've seen his miracles in a way nobody could dispute. And yet somehow they can't maintain this faith that he will care for them, even in this desert. But God remained faithful to them, despite the faithlessness that they showed. And he quenched their thirst, their human thirst, by bringing forth water from a rock. And in the gospel today, the Samaritan woman that we encounter, she is also lost. Now, she's obviously not wandering around in the desert, but she is going to the well at noon, and that means something. Because noon is a very hot time of day, and it's not when any normal person would choose to go to the well. So she's probably avoiding people and feels like an outcast. Going there at noon, she doesn't want to be seen or encountered by anybody. And it's probably because of her shame that Christ mentions with all those husbands, the shame that she has. But she goes out that day, trying to avoid people, to the well at noon, and she finds Christ there, waiting for her. She didn't expect anyone to be there at that place or at that time. But Christ was there, meeting her exactly where he needed to meet her. And she's looking for physical water to quench her thirst, but this is a symbol of something deeper for her. Because she's not just looking for a physical remedy. She's looking for something to make the loneliness and isolation in her heart go away. And she thinks maybe these physical things she does will help her do that. But at the well that day, Jesus Christ offered her something much greater. Living water. Water that could quench her soul and fulfill her in ways she probably dreams of, but no longer actually believes are possible. Water that would fill the emptiness and loneliness that pervaded her heart. At the well that day, Jesus looked at this woman with the love of a father for his daughter. And in that love, he spoke the truth to her. He said, "I know you. I know your sin. I know your shame. And yet still, I came here and I waited for you." This encounter with Christ transformed her. Those sins that she had committed, which had left her so empty, they were brought into the light. And Christ did something that only he can do. He took them out of her heart and refilled her heart with the knowledge that not only was she worthy of love, but that the Messiah himself had come there that day and waited just for her. This is the power of God. He destroys sin and fills that place that's left with his love so that we can come back to him. The Samaritan woman was so overjoyed and fulfilled by this encounter that she left that water jar, a very expensive and important possession, mind you, because without it, you're gonna die of thirst. She left it there to go tell everybody in her town what had happened. She had met the Messiah, who saw her and waited for her. And she, notice, is no longer fearing being in that community because the sin and the shame that was in her heart, it's healed. It's gone now. She's not afraid. Not only had Christ restored her, but he had given her an amazing gift. Because the reason she left that water jar is because she didn't need it. When she said, "Sir, give me some of this water," he gave it to her. He filled her with living water, and so she now was the vessel. She contained the water she was looking for that day. And Christ gave her so much that it overflowed into the people around her, and she had to go share it. She proclaimed that good news and the truth that the Messiah had spoken to her. And because of that encounter, she became an instrument of a conversion for that entire community. Isn't this woman's story a perfect example of the Christian life? So often we find ourselves wandering in the wasteland like the Israelites in the first reading, or trying to avoid people because of our shame, like the Samaritan woman in the gospel. But then, at a time and in a place we don't expect, God comes to meet us wherever we are. And at that moment, he speaks truth into our hearts. And there's nothing we can do but know we have encountered the one who loves us. And after that, we can't wait to share the good news of God. One such moment like this for me was way before I went to seminary during my Eucharistic adoration hour. I don't exactly what I was praying about that night. I do remember it was my 2 a.m. on Friday holy hour. By the way, when the adoration coordinator says, "Hey, I've got some hours, can you fill them?" Maybe check the hours before you say, "Yeah, sure, what do you need?" It turned out to be a beautiful gift praying at that time of night, mind you. And I'm very, very glad I did it, but it was really early. Anyways, I don't remember exactly what I was praying about, but knowing myself, I was probably having a little bit of trouble with my faith, probably having a little bit of trouble believing God actually cared about me personally. But that night in adoration, I became overwhelmed by the knowledge that I was not alone in that room. God was there with me, and I don't know how to describe it, I just knew it. He came to be with me in adoration that night. And the truth he spoke to my heart was that I exist and I am here and I care about you, Matt. I'll remember that night forever. I especially remember that night when I have those moments of doubt, which everybody gets, by the way. Everybody has those. Or when someone asks me, or when someone asks me how I know in my heart that God exists, it's because he came and was there with me. You know, in seminary, we learn all these different ways to prove God's existence with philosophy. We learn these great five ways that St. Thomas taught. But I'll be honest, none of those hold a candle. They don't even compare. I don't even really think about them. The reason I know God is here and that he loves us is because of that night, because he met me when I needed him. Today, we begin the scrutinies of the elect. It's this part of the process of bringing new people into the church. People who wish to join our Christian community through baptism. They're taking these final steps so that they too can receive that living water from Jesus Christ our Lord. So today, during this Mass, we will pray with them and over them. And we will cast out any evil or attachment to sin that is in them. And so those of us who are already baptized, who are already fully a part of our Christian community, we should recall our own baptisms today, where we were freed of those attachments to evil and sin in this world, and where Jesus Christ came to live in our hearts. We are called to assist these elect of God with humility and love as they begin to discover the wonder of the mysteries of our Christian faith. And so at least once this week, those people over there whose pictures you see, make sure to say a prayer for them as they finish preparing to come into the church this Easter. Brothers and sisters, By our baptism into the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, we were baptized and justified. Because of that, the Prince of Peace reigns and lives within our hearts. And so when we are filled with that peace and with that hope in eternal life that only Christ can give, let's not be afraid to ask God these questions. Lord, how are you filling my soul with spiritual water today? That is, how are you giving me your very own life today? And dear Father in heaven, what are you calling me to do with this incredible gift you have given me?